Call to order, the TAC Advisory Committee of AMAC, January 21st. First order of business is determine a quorum, and there is. The second would be the approval of the minutes for December 10th, 2015. Is that a motion?
Yeah.
Do I have a second?
Second, yeah.
Second from Dave Jasper. Is there any discussion, any adjustments, changes to the minutes? Can I have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Passed. Staff reports. Financial progress report. Heard of Mr. Baker?
Yeah. All right. Welcome, everyone, to our first January meeting of the TAC. If you look at Attachment 3A, that shows our financial progress report. We are on a fiscal year, which begins in July and ends in June, so we're halfway through the year with this report. And what you'll see is that our budget, we're at about 42% of our allocation is what we've spent for our planning work. And we can look to continue that rate, and we should be in good shape this year. So if that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Second is Tony Damascus. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Passes. If when you make a motion, if you can say your name first, that would be much appreciated by Mr. Pratt. Next on the agenda is the technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
All right. As many of you know, we discussed in December, the federal highway or a new bill was passed by Congress called the FAST Act, which does stabilize funding for highways for the next 5 years. We were able to meet with ODOT today to talk a little bit about some of the issues or some of the ideas about that. Some good news for us is that it does look like our planning allocation will go up. What's going to be interesting is, as many of you know, we get a certain amount of allocated surface transportation funds every year, and then we get a little bit of discretionary funds from ODOT. While the bill does enhance the funding for surface transportation for locals, we're not sure if ODOT will actually then just withhold some of the discretionary to keep our funding levels exactly the same. So if that is the case, I think that would be a little bit of a disappointment, but it's something that I think we made clear to them that it's definitely a need for our region to get as many of these funds as we can for our local systems. Also, a lot of the things you'll see today have to do with updating our regional transportation plan, which is due in May of 2017. We're working on a lot of these products right now, and so we'll be looking for feedback from you as well as our policy committee as we develop that. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hearing none, we'll move on to AMAT Federal Funds Report. Mr. Bodasong.
Thank you. Not much has changed since last year. December, a month ago, on our table, just because of the holidays, there wasn't much activity. So what you see in this table is about what you see last month. And last month, we were hoping to finalize our last trade with another MPO, and that didn't happen before the holidays, so we hope that that will get done here this next week. So what that will allow us to do is move in the Cleveland-Massillon Road project from 17 back into 16, $1.64 million. And then the lockdown is officially finalized for fiscal year 17 and 18. So all the projects that are listed there for fiscal year 17, those are locked out by date, and the ones in 18 are locked out by quarter. So that's all I have on the cycle.
Any questions, comments? Thank you. Curtis, Mr. Baker, is there any old business?
We have no old business.
Okay, next is new business. The existing congestion study, 2015, Mrs. Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
everybody. I'm going to present the existing congestion study that we just completed. It is one of the initial steps for our next regional transportation plan. It studies the congestion management network in its existing condition. It includes three types of analyses: freeways, arterials, and intersections. And this is a map of all of our congestion management network, including the freeways, arterials, and the dots or intersections, obviously. For our freeway analysis, we analyzed 165 miles of freeway, and that was 206 directional segments. We analyzed freeways each direction. There were 42 congested freeway segments. Congested would be D, E, or F. There were none operating at level of service F. There were four at level of service E, and there were 38 at level of service D. In our previous existing congestion study that was completed in 2010, we actually had 73 congested freeway segments, so our numbers definitely have improved. This is a map of the level of service E and level of service D locations. Our level of service E locations are 7677 westbound from the Interbelt to East Avenue, 77 northbound from Archwood Avenue to State Route 8, 7677 eastbound from East to South Street off-ramp, and then also from South off-ramp to the Interbelt. We also, for freeway analysis, we do a weave analysis, which catches really short segments of weaving. We found that just regular segment analysis didn't capture the weaves, so we added weave analysis. We do 20 weave segments, and 14 of those weave segments were considered congested. 10 operate at level of service F, 1 at level of service E, and 3 operate at level of service D. And these are our weaving area congested segments. They're the ones with the dashed lines. They were just overlaid right onto our freeway level of service map. These are our level of service F and E locations. If you look at our level of service F locations, it looks like there are 6, but some of them are in both directions, so that's what brings the number up to 10. I'm not going to read all of them. For arterial analysis, we did 375 miles of arterials, and we did 597 segments. 35 are congested segments, none are at level of service F, 5 are at level of service E, and 30 are at level of service D. In our previous study, we had 45 congested segments, so we are also improving. This is a map of our arterial level of service segments that are congested. These locations are Cleveland-Maslin Road from 77 northbound ramp to Elgin Road, State Route 1444 from 59 to 5, Cleveland-Maslin from Elgin to Bywood, State Route 18 from Crystal Lake Road to 77, and State Route 91 Main Street from Ravenna to 303. For our intersections, we analyzed 34 intersections, and 22 of them are congested. 5 operated at overcapacity, 4 operated at capacity, and 13 operate near capacity. We also had 22 congested segments the last time we did this study. They are not the same 22. I will let you know. These are our over, at, and near capacity intersections. These are our over capacity. It was State Route 82/91, North Merriman, or North Porch Path and Merriman, 18 and Miller, 91 and 303, and Hal Britton Northwest. Our at capacity intersections are 82 Old 8 Brandywine, Portage Trail, Akron Peninsula, 18 and Crystal Lake, and 59 and Fish Creek. Our next steps is we are going to be completing a future congestion study with projected volumes out to 2040 to correspond with our plan. We will be doing a congestion management report that would include both existing and future analyses and recommended needs. And then finally, the 2040 Regional Transportation Plan, which will be fiscally constrained. Any questions? Yes.
You compared to 2010, so like the freeway segments, there's fewer yes areas, and also the arterial segments, there's fewer. Why was that? Lower traffic volume?
Some of it had to do with, some of them were lower traffic volumes, but a lot of it was just in general for improvements that we've made in the system in that time frame. Any other questions?
If I just may add something, too, is that, you know, one of the things that we do want to look at, and I think it's good that we have this study out here, is that, you know, AMATS does take a very fix-it-first approach policy-wise of how we're looking at things. However, that doesn't mean that there aren't congested areas in our system. And one of the things that we do want to talk about with our members is, you know, when we think about how we fund projects and score projects and what's regionally significant is, you know, those projects that are on the top of the list, do they deserve to be, you know, kind of not forgotten in terms of our fix-it-first policy, in terms of where we do have some congestion? So that will be a question I think we would like to look at least discuss a little bit in the future, and wanted you guys to, you know that up front, looking at kind of some of the information that we have. Like Amy said, I mean, we are going down in a lot of places, but there are still some that are that still continue to be a problem. Consistently from 2010 to 2014.
In some locations, we do have dropping volumes, but in other locations, we do have increasing traffic in general. So our, you know, some of it is due to lowering traffic volumes. Some of it is due to, like I say, fixing congested areas with projects. So, any other questions?
Okay, on this.
The intersection with the freeway level of service, APTs may not necessarily be dropping, but what I've noticed is peak hours are, and a lot of this is based on peak hours. And I'm not sure if that's because of maybe a more flexible work schedule or maybe more people working from home.
And to add to Dave's, I did the arterial analysis, and one thing that I noticed is in the past, before we started using peak hour, we used to use a 10% of ADT to get our peak hours, and when we started checking percentage of peak, almost no location in our service area has a 10% peak hour traffic. Most of them are between 7 and 9, so most of them are really honestly around 8. So I agree that the traffic is spread out a little more consistently throughout the day. It's not all hitting just at the peak hour. So, any other questions? Thank you.
Hearing none, I need a motion to
approve.
Do I have a second?
Jim Wallace, second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Pass. Next on the agenda is the Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget. Mr. Gardner will be presenting.
Thank you. Attachment 5B is the FY 2017 work program. Annually, the AMATS Policy Committee adopts a work program and budget for the upcoming fiscal year for the staff. The fiscal year begins on July 1st. The work program identifies the staff planning activities that will take place in the upcoming fiscal year and describes the funding sources that will be used to pay for these activities. The AMATS budget is provided by a grant from the U.S. DOT and is overseen by ODOT. Funding is matched. The federal share is 80%. ODOT provides 10%. and the members of the AMATS Policy Committee provide the remaining 10% of the staff budget. ODOT is providing its annual consolidated planning grant funds for this year in the amount of $1.1 million. Approximately $152,000 in local share dues is requested in order to fund a total budget of just under $1.7 million. This budget is slightly more than last year's. The local share request is shown in Table 1 of Attachment 5B, listed by each community. A draft of the FY 2017 work program will be submitted to ODOT and the Federal Highway Administration for their review and their comment at the end of February, at which point we'll meet with ODOT. The final work program and budget will be presented to the Policy Committee in May. The major elements of the work program include a new TIP and regional transportation plan, as well as inputs to the new plan, such as the congestion management process report and the financial resources forecast. The new regional transportation plan will have a horizon year of 2040 and will be put in place in May of 2017. The staff will also continue to do the annual traffic counting program and crash studies. The staff is requesting approval of the FY 2017 work program and budget. Are there any questions?
I had a question, maybe too soon for this, but I wondered if the staff had any opinion about the impact workload-wise of the FAST Act.
One of the requirements of MAP 21 was to incorporate performance measures into the planning process, and that was carried into the FAST Act. That didn't change, but that's going to be a major activity for us, actually in the current year as well as next year, as Federal Highway issues regulations related to performance measures. That's going to take a lot of staff time to incorporate those.
Any other questions? Can I have a motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion passes. Next on the agenda will be the freight plan. Mr. Gardner will be presenting it.
The staff is currently in the process of updating our freight plan in preparation for the upcoming regional transportation plan, as I mentioned, is scheduled for approval a year from May. The current freight plan was approved in December of 2012. AMATS is required and is committed to incorporating freight needs into the transportation planning process. To that end, the staff is requesting your input into the draft updated freight plan. You may forward to us any freight-related concerns that you may have or any needs that you would like to see us incorporate into the regional transportation plan. Contact information is provided at the bottom of Attachment 5C. We would also be happy to receive any comments from the public as well as private shippers or interested stakeholders related to freight. We intend to present the draft freight plan to you in March in the Policy Committee, and then incorporate the elements of the freight plan into the upcoming regional transportation plan. Are there any questions?
Yeah, and if I can just add to that, you know, one of the things we're looking at is, for example, in Hudson, you have near on Hines Hill Road, Norfolk Southern's been blocking Hines Hill Road due to trains trying to get in up north of there, blocking it for over an hour, creating emergency response issues, et cetera. You know, if you have in your local communities issues, not maybe on par with that, but similar ones, whether it has to do with the rail or trucking, there's a mix of a lot more trucks on a road than, say, you know, we anticipate or we know about, please let us know, because those are things that we want to document in this process, some of the freight-related issues that we have.
And incorporated with safety, at-grade crossings are an issue with crashes and
so will there be an effort to also look at freight movement by rail?
Yes.
Okay.
Will the plan identify dedicated truck routes throughout these communities?
You mean on the interstate system, freeway?
Well, even Dallas goes, but then also there are local roads that are identified as dedicated specific truck routes. Roads that, at least in Colorado Falls, we have five roads that truck routes are used.
Okay, we could look at that in a comprehensive manner for the MX area. That would be helpful.
Thank you. Move on to resolution. Mr. Bogusaw?
Thank you again. We first showed this list back in September to you, the projects that we submitted down to Columbus, the statewide SUMAC funding program for consideration, and then we had mentioned that the top three projects received funding. So what this resolution is doing is just formalizing that. So the three projects that do receive funding in the order that they were in scoring was the Cleveland-Massillon Road roundabouts at Fairlawn for $1.4 million. State Route 241, Corporate Square, Phase 3 project in Green for $3.3 million, and then also two bus purchases for part of it. So this resolution formalizes the approval of funding for these projects, and they will be, if you look at the table in the back, at this point, they're programmed 19, 20, and 2021.
I need a motion. Any discussion? Can I have all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same thing. The next resolution is Mr. Cole.
Okay, thank you. I'll be presenting attachment 6B, which is resolution 2016-02, 2016-03, and 2016-04. And these are the new projects that we'll be adding to our, that we'll be funding from our last round of applications. We received applications back in November, and we received 106 applications totaling over $130 million. Unfortunately, we had around $19.1 million available for funding. So there were 16 new projects selected, and the new projects will be programmed in fiscal years 21 and 22. And we also revised the funding to three existing projects. We'll start with our STP funding. We received 32 applications. $94 million was requested. We had around $13.3 million available. So that left enough to fund six projects, and then we added a seventh project that was partially funded. So the total funding for STP was $13.9 million. We were over about 5%, and this is resolution 2016-02. The projects that were requested was Hudson, State Route 91 and Prospect, Cuyahoga Falls, Powell Avenue Reconstruction, Akron, East Exchange Street, a complete street concept, Hudson, State Route 91 improvements, and Hudson, State Route 91 and 303 intersection improvements, Streetsboro, State Route 14 reconstruction, and Green, this is the one that was partially funded, is Maslin Road, Corporate Square. This will be a roundabout, and we funded the right-of-way phase only. These projects will be added to the TIP through Amendment Number 4. The next category of funding is TAP funding. 18 applications were received. A total of $9.2 million was requested. Around $2.1 million available. Five projects were selected for a total of $2.4 million, and this is Resolution 2016-03. And the five projects that were funded was in Kent, the Portage Hike and Bike, the Brady's Leap segment, Summit County, State Route 18 Walkways, Phase 1, Barberton, the Towpath Trail Connector, Akron, Britton Road Sidewalks, and Summit Metro Parks, the Freedom Trail and the Portage Hike and Bike Connector. And the last category of funding was resurfacing. 56 applications received, $27.3 million requested. We allocated $3.8 million towards this. We selected seven projects, and those seven projects actually totaled around $3.8 million. And this is Resolution 2016-04. And those are, here's the seven projects in New Franklin, Center Road, West and East. Summit County Engineer had two, the Medina Line Road and Portage Lakes Drive. Barberton, 2nd Street Southwest and Cleveland Maslin Road, and Cuyahoga Falls, Steels Corners Road, Phase 1. Here's a breakdown of the types of projects. Operational was 56%, preservation was 32%, and bike and ped was 12% of the funding. So the next step is we will send you letters and officially informing you of your of the approval of funds for your project. And then you have 45 days to submit a programming package to ODOT. We'll have scope meetings with ODOT, and the next round of funding will be in the fall of 2017. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
I just have a general sort of statement I want to make, and that's regarding the scoring criteria and how the points are allocated. I would like to, as a group, I think we just recently looked at it, but I'd like to, as a group, reevaluate that at some point and how the points are allocated. And I'm going to suggest to my mayor at the policy level to bring this up as well. I think that our project is a project that's a good merited project, but it's never really going to score high enough, given some of these criteria how they're set up now. So I just think it's something that long term we take a look at the policies related to the scoring.
Actually, we're constantly updating our funding policy, and I already have notes about things that we want to maybe improve. So in the next 2 years, we'll try to do that. Yes?
I have a question because I'm not involved in this process directly. A couple of the funding packages are somewhat significantly over what's available, and I understand that you have kind of a contingency. I just wondered why you're seeking authorization for $13.9 million, yet there's $13.3 million available.
Well, we always over budget a little bit because projects sometimes things happen to projects that delay them and other reasons. And now we're in a position where if we don't use our money, you know, we can be penalized also. So we always try to overfund a little bit. Now that's for the STP funding. We were about 4.5-5% over, which isn't too bad. And I know last time I think we maybe over-programmed a little too much, and now that's why a lot of these projects are being programmed out in 21 and 22. So we always over-program some just because a lot of projects, for one reason or another, don't make it when they're expected to, and we don't want to lose any money either.
No more questions? Okay, then we'll go on to reading the resolutions. Resolution 2016-02, I need a motion to approve the projects to be funded under the STP program and adding to the current TIP. Have a motion?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those against, same sign. And the next resolution is Resolution 2016-03, approving projects to be funded under the TAP program. Can I have a motion?
Motion, second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against, same side. A resolution 2016-04, approving projects funded under the resurfacing program. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against, same sign.
I just wanted to mention one more thing. The TAP projects and the resurfacing projects had no formal amendment to this TIP because they're being programmed in 21 and 22, and our current TIP just goes to fiscal year 19. So we can't really add them to this TIP. They'll be added when we do the next TIP.
Any other business? Or so adjourned.